Powerhouse podcast. As always, I am your host and site manager of BT Powerhouse, Thomas Bendit. We are back with our, I think, 76, number 76 podcast, where we are continuing our season preview series, and we're hitting on Penn State, which figures to be one of the more intriguing teams in this year's Big Ten, I would say. But to help us break it down, we have Chad from Roar Lions Roar, which should be a lot of fun. Happy to have Chad back. He used to write for BT Powerhouse at one point. Looks like we're having a brief technical issue. But Chad, how's it going?
Hey, Thomas. I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Doing well. Doing well. Excited to have you on. Excited to chat about Penn State. How are things going over in Penn State country?
They've rarely been better than this right now, I'd have to say. It's a pretty exciting time in Penn State basketball land.
Definitely. So, I mean, why don't we jump right into it here? We got a lot to talk about, a lot going on with Penn State this year. Personally, as I was saying a couple seconds ago, I think they're going to be one of, if not the most intriguing teams in the Big Ten this year. A lot to like, talent. But let's start with kind of some of the general feelings. Obviously, there's a lot of optimism for Penn State basketball this year, at least more than normal, I would say. What's some of the general feelings coming into this year? How high are expectations, and what's the excitement level like for Nick?
Hello, can you hear me? Hello,
Chad. Can you hear me?
Yeah, sorry about that. I'm good now.
Oh, okay.
sorry about that.
Did you hear my last question? Sorry.
No, can you repeat it, please?
Okay. So I was just kind of asking about general impressions and excitement level coming into the season. How does it compare to normal? I assume fans are more excited about this year than they have the last couple. How much more excited are they? What's the general feeling coming into this year?
Yeah, there's a general sense of optimism. Obviously they have the recruiting class coming in. It was top 30-ish, to be, pessimistic on that front. But, there's more talent on the roster, I think, than there's ever been under Pat Chambers and probably since the last years of the Ed Bacelus era. So, people on campus seem to be more excited about this team. I know the program itself is trying to, they're upping their marketing efforts and trying to get, they have some behind-the-scenes looks going on with their unlocked video series that they have on Twitter. And, there's a lot of good feelings around the program right now, and hopefully they can, hopefully for their sake they can parlay that into some on-the-court results, because that's what ultimately will get, the fans to show up every day and just – take them to that next level. That's really just the last step for this program right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I definitely agree. At least from the outside perspective, it seems like a lot more excitement than usual. Before we sort of get into the X's and O's here of the preview, one thing I do like to hit on, with some of the, I would say programs who haven't been as successful as recently, Pat Chambers, depending on who you talk to, he doesn't have any job pressure. If you talk to some people, he needs a big year this year. I know it's hard to put a pin on the whole hot seat debate here. First off, do you think Pat Chambers is on the hot seat at all? And if you do, how good of a season does he need to sort of keep off the haters, for lack of a better term?
Well, he's certainly under pressure. These next 2 years are big for him. I don't think he's on the hot seat for this year. I don't think he's in any danger of losing his job after this season, barring a complete, Rutgers-like year. They're such a young team. They have no seniors on the roster. They have some redshirt juniors, but even still, they're just such a young team, and they have, they have more talent than they've had before. It's just a matter of gelling together and producing some results. I just don't. He got his last contract extension after two wins in the Big Ten tournament. Sandy Barber, the athletic director, was in Indianapolis for that when they beat Nebraska and Iowa, and had a narrow defeat against Purdue 2 years ago with it was DJ Newbold last year. And I think she saw that there's reason to be optimistic about Chambers and the way he coaches, and certainly the way he recruits, because he's recruiting at a level that a program like Penn State should not be recruiting at right now. So I don't think he's on the hot seat this year. I mean, depending expectations this year, I guess possibly NIT would be reasonable expectations, I think. But within the next 2 years, he's probably going to have to make a serious push for the NCAA tournament to keep his job, because otherwise it'll be, 7 or 8 years without any meaningful postseason. So there's certainly pressure to build this year and to, continue to, look like a program that that's recruiting the way they are. They should have results that back that up. So, not a ton of pressure, but it's building to the point where it's put up or shut up time very soon.
Yeah, that definitely seems like a well put analysis of where Chambers is sitting coming into this year. Not to backtrack a little bit here, but I like to start with where each team was last year, because obviously this year is going to spin off of what happened for better or worse last year. Penn State, they end up finishing 16-16, 7-11 in the Big Ten. They get knocked out of the Big Ten tournament by Ohio State. Don't go to any other postseason. What were your biggest takeaways from last year? If you could kind of sum up last year in a Reader's Digest version here for our listeners, what would be your takeaways from last year?
The expectations weren't very high, and they exceeded those expectations. They had the four seniors led by Brandon Taylor, who had a breakout year of sorts. He's playing professionally in Greece right now. I don't think anybody saw him, earning a professional contract for a high level team in Europe. But that's what he did. And he really matured as a player in his senior year and really carried Penn State along with him. They beat a good Iowa team at the time. And obviously the outright Big Ten champs in Indiana at home. They got the scouts that they didn't really get the last 2 years under Chambers. They played reasonably well. They played reasonably decent to watch basketball, which isn't always the case with a school like Penn State. So, all in all, expectations were met and exceeded. And they got they got that first round bye in the Big Ten tournament, which they have not gotten, I don't think ever. So that's certainly something that they can build on and use in recruiting to show that there is tangible progress being made. It was a fine season. It was fine.
and one great achievement for Penn State for an improvement off of the year before. Didn't lose to Rutgers, which they did in the 2014-15 season. So that's something to hang your hat on, I guess.
That loss was. I hate to dwell on that loss because it just brings back such bad memories. But the way they lost that game, they just. Brick three after three in the rack after playing competitively Wisconsin like a couple of days before. So, and they had that 12-1 non-conference start, and every hope and dream was just flushed down the toilet in Piscataway that day. So yeah, thanks for bringing that up. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. we cater to everyone's horrible losses here on PT Powerhouse. as we transition away from that season, which, you call fine, I would definitely agree. It was just okay. I didn't think there's anything great, anything terrible. Penn State, you mentioned they are losing, the four seniors, most notably, they're losing Brandon Taylor. They're losing Dickerson, who had a relatively productive time up front, and Jack. How do you think these off-season exits are going to impact Penn State? What are the biggest and most challenging guys to replace? And how do you see those affecting this year's team?
Well, certainly Brandon Taylor's leadership is going to be, it's going to be tough to replace. He really carried the team on his back last year. He was the emotional leader of the team. But from a production standpoint, I think the biggest issue is just they just have such a lack of true big men on the roster right now. So losing Jack and losing Dickerson, you know, they were experienced. They were prone to fouls. But the guys they have who are replacing them in the front court, Julian Moore and redshirt freshman Mike Watkins, they're pretty untested yet, especially Moore for being a redshirt junior. So they're going to have to really manage those minutes and manage their fouls pretty well because they just don't have any bodies behind them. And of course, you know, losing Taylor's scoring and inside out ability was key. But what that does help with them with is, you know, this team is going to be playing more up and down. They were a very slow paced team last year. Looking on KenPom right now, they were looking at pace. Yeah, they were 260th in the nation in adjusted tempo. So expect that to increase a lot because they have ball handlers and they have, you know, athletic wings that they didn't really have in the past. But yeah, it's going to be a more stylistic change this year. And replacing Taylor, like I said, it's going to be a big blow at the start of the year, but I think eventually they'll be able to find that scoring punch that he provided.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's one of these things, you know, I said it, you know, we've just previewed Rutgers on our last podcast here for our season preview series, and which, you know, definitely was a little tough to get through, I will admit. But just kidding. You know, one of the things I always say is, you know, coming into seasons, I think sometimes people overrate returning contributions. And the reason I believe that is because, you know, regardless of those recruiting rankings or, you know, how good the guy projects to the team, unless they've done it before, you never can be sure what you're getting. You know, with the returning guy, you always know what, you know, how many points he averaged, what his rebound numbers were. So, I mean, you know, from a statistical perspective, you know, Taylor's a huge loss. You know, there's no getting around that. Losing Jack and Dickerson, you know, who basically manned most of the minutes at the five, you know, that's a big loss too. But at the same time, you know, this wasn't the, you know, what, 95, 96 Bulls here. You know, this was a 16-16 team. So, I mean, on the one hand, you know, it's there's significant losses. On the other hand, you know, again, you're not losing Michael Jordan, so these guys are possible to replace. So that would be my one note and thought on the offseason losses here. But moving away on the optimistic side here, you know, four guys departing the program, but you know, you mentioned the recruiting class a couple times here, very highly rated. You know, I obviously, you know, the recruiting rankings only go back so far, but, you know, this is one of Penn State's better classes, certainly in recent history, arguably one of its better classes of all time. What do you make of this class? And additionally, how do you think Samuel as well, the transfer, is going to impact this team coming into this year?
Yeah, I'll start with Samuel. He's, you know, he was a member of the UConn team that won the national championship a couple of years ago. He certainly brings that mental toughness and experience to the team that, you know, a team with no true seniors would really need. He's going to help out a lot in that department. He needs to work on his jump shot a little bit. I don't think he ever made a 3-pointer at UConn, which is a little concerning for a Penn State team that just doesn't have many great 3-point shooters outside of Shep Garner. But yeah, I think he'll be a nice steady presence in the backcourt, good defender, good ball handler, definitely give them some good minutes. Could even start to begin the year. But the freshman class, just in terms of off the court importance that they provide, you know, there are three Philadelphia kids and one kid from another hotbed in the DMV from Oak Hill, Joe Hampton. But Carr, Stevens, and Bostic are three players from the same high school, same AAU program, team final. In Philadelphia, Pat Chambers has made a huge effort to get into Philadelphia and get the talent out of there because that's, you know, Villanova, Syracuse have been, and of course the rest of the Big Five have been hitting that area very hard for, you know, they made a whole career off, or a whole, you know, program. They built their programs off of that location, that recruiting that area. So for Penn State to get in there and get ins with, you know, such a prestigious program like Roman Catholic and Team Final, it's only going to help them in the future. And, you know, on the court, I think Carr he could be given the keys to the car, if you will, pardon the pun, from day one, because he's very steady presence in the backcourt. His pacing is what a lot of people will point to as his major strength. So, you know, he knows when to push it. He knows when to slow the ball down. And that he'll take some pressure off Shep Garner from, you know, he'll allow him to move off the ball perhaps and get some, you know, try to spot up for three more often where he's better off set shots, where everybody's better off set shots, of course, as opposed to going off a dribble. So he's going to help Lamar Stevens bring his athleticism from the power forward spot. He's kind of a 3-4 tweener right now. He needs to work on his outside game, but I think with a little practice, he'll be able to play the three and maybe the stretch four for Penn State, especially with the dearth of big men they have on the roster. And Nazir Bostic is also one in kind of that work in progress mode. He has the athleticism and he'll definitely be a terror on defense from the get go. But you know, his jump shot, like many high school players, needs some work to see early minutes. Joe Hanson's coming off an ACL tear in his senior year. He didn't play at all for Oak Hill. He'll need probably some time to recover. He's listed at 6'8", 290 on the roster right now, which is maybe the football team can use him at left tackle. But, you know, in the meantime, they'll try to get him in shape. And a red shirt's not out of the question, but I think, you know, just, again, going back to the lack of big men on the roster, they're probably going to need him to play some minutes down there. He can shoot the three pretty well, so he'll definitely bring an added dimension on offense in that Brandon Taylor mode. But all in all, just, you know, the incoming class with Samuel and Mike Watkins, too, I think he's worth talking about. He came in really as more highly rated than Josh Reeves, even in that 2015 class. And he had to sit out last year with some academic issues, but it seems like he was, you know, there were some issues with him transferring high schools and some classes not carrying over, but he seems to be good to go for this year. The coaches rave about his intensity and his shot blocking ability and his passing out of the post, which will give, you know, a lot of teams fits to, you know, to try to defend a big man who can pass and also find his own bucket. So, yeah, there's just a lot of reason for optimism with these young kids, but at the same time, you know, you have to temper your expectation because they are so young and they are so, you know, there's no experience for four of these guys, four of these new players. So just keeping a level head and letting them get better and make mistakes, it might be a rough start to the season, but I think, you know, getting them solid minutes throughout the year will just pay off big time and either at the end of this year or for next season.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, you know, starting with, you know, Samuel, I agree, you know, you really can't sit here and, you know, act like he's going to come off as, you know, Big Ten Player of the Year or something, but it's a guy with experience on a team that's going to be really young. You know, he's been on a good team. And, you know, as you mentioned, the three-point concern is shooting is going to be a concern. But, you know, if he can get in there and play some decent defense, get to the hoop, that, you know, that would be a nice boost to the backcourt depth. And then as far as the recruiting class goes, I agree. You know, Carr is obviously the guy to watch. He's going to be the guy who's getting all the attention. You know, certainly a contender for Big Ten Freshman of the Year, the All Big Ten Freshman Team. He'll be interesting to watch. And you know, I agree. I was going to mention Mike Watkins later on, but a hidden little, he's almost like an incoming recruit, even though he's been around for a year. So he's another guy to watch. You know, as a new face for this season on Penn State. But getting into the, you know, more of the lineup here and the team. First off, what do you anticipate being the starting lineup on opening night? I know it's really hard to project with so many new guys here on the roster, but what do you project as that? And what position group do you sort of see as the strong suit? What do you see as the weak point on the team?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be tough to project because, you know, it's a question of does Pat Chambers want experience on opening night or does he just go with the probably the most talented lineup? But right now I would say I think Tony Carr gets the point guard spot from day one. I think he's just too talented to keep off the floor. Shep Garner is going to need his experience in three-point shooting, and I think just because Carr is kind of a bigger point guard, they can, you know, figure out which guard they're going to each defend. If you know, Garner defends the one and Carr defends the two, I think that can work out in the backcourt. I think Josh Reeves is primed for a big year. He had mononucleosis last year that kind of limited him. and his development, but he's got a full season under his belt. He's added nearly 20 pounds to his frame, so I think, you know, if he can improve his three-point shot, which was pretty horrendous last year, but if he can work on that a little bit and get up to the 25% range, would be nice even. But, you know, just the defensive specialty that he provides and everything like that, I think he's too important in this team to keep off the roster, off the starting five, I mean. Peyton Banks is a guy to watch out for, I think. I think he's demonstrated some leadership qualities early this offseason, you know, and some of those clips that the Penn State, the program has given us, the videos, that he's really taken the lead here and becoming a vocal leader on the team. So I think and he finished he was almost at 37% from three-point range in Big Ten play. So they're going to need his shooting, and, you know, like, he's not a true power forward in any sense, but just he has the defensive capability and the rebounding ability to play the four, I think. And then the five, it's a toss-up between Moore and Watkins. Just a matter of does Chambers want to rush Watkins into a starting role right away from day one, even though he has that year of experience under his belt, the year of, you know, the redshirt year under his belt. So it's just a stylistic choice there. But that's my starting five, and that's very subject to change because, like I said, there's just a lot of depth on this team between Terrence Samuel, Joe Hampton. Lamar Stevens is probably going to be too talented to keep off the starting five for very long. So that will be a fluid situation, I think.
Yeah. And that's why I prefaced with it. It's when you have this much youth, this much talent, this many new faces, it's really hard to get a gauge on it. But, you know, Peyton Banks is an interesting, you know, guy. not to get too off track here, but, you know, kind of as a, I don't want to say an unknown, but a guy who didn't get a ton of attention coming in. And he's, I don't want to say he's blossomed into a star or anything, but, you know, he was a solid player last year. And, you know, if he can take that next step, that would certainly be pretty, pretty huge for the team. Well, why don't we just get into a couple more points here real quick? Just dive in, you know, start with the schedule. What games pop out to you? Is there anything to watch here regarding the schedule for Penn State this season?
Obviously, you know, the Duke game is going to be exciting. They're playing at Mohegan Sun in Connecticut, and they have win or lose, they're playing a what will likely be a ranked team in the next round, either Cincinnati or Rhode Island. But I mean, that's obviously exciting for a lot of Penn Staters, just be able to have the chance to knock off Duke with no expectation that they're going to win. So obviously that would be a fun time for a lot of Penn Staters. And you know, I don't expect them to win. Nobody expects them to win. If they can knock off Cincinnati or Rhode Island, that'd be incredible. But I don't think anybody's expecting that either right now. Just because it'll be the fourth game of the year. Grand Canyon is actually an intriguing opponent because they return a lot of good players, and they had a really great season last year. And obviously Dan Marley is the coach there, and that would be exciting. And obviously, you know, the Pittsburgh game in Newark, the Never Forget Tribute Classic in Newark, New Jersey. That, you know, it's always fun to play Pitt, and hopefully they can get some revenge for what happened this past weekend again on the football field.
Bring it up
St. John's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, we'll take whatever we can get. And St. John's, I think, will be an improved squad. They have a lot of talent. I know Marcus Lovett, Richard Freudenberg are players that are obviously extremely talented, and it's just a matter of if you know, Chris Mullin can get them playing the same way or the way that they want to. And it's kind of a similar situation that Penn State's in because they just have a lot of unproven talent. So it's just a matter of who can get their team to gel more quickly. So, yeah, you know, it's really a schedule of intent from Chambers that he wants to test his team early and see what they're made of. And, you know, at the very worst, it will prepare them for Big Ten play.
All right. Two things I forgot to ask here on the roster before we jumped into the schedule. Starting with, you know, just two overall things on the schedule. What do you see as a couple strengths in terms of, you know, whether it's shooting or defense or rebounding? What do you see as a couple strengths, and what do you see as a couple, you know, red flags for this team coming into this season?
Shooting is a concern. It's been not great, to put it lightly, since Chambers has been at Penn State. I think they have shooting in Shep Garner and Peyton Banks, but outside of that, it's tough to find. Maybe Tony Carr can be that spark, and Davis and Gulas came in with the reputation of being a three-point sniper out of high school, but he's struggled to earn minutes in his freshman year. So shooting is definitely a big concern. And the other major worry I would have is foul trouble. Penn State has been one of the most foul-happy teams in the country for quite a while now. And just I keep going back to the lack of big men, but it's so important when you're going against Big Ten big players, like, you know, it's just, I mean, every team has a capable big man. So they're going to need, you're going to need to keep these guys out of foul trouble. So those are the two major concerns. Obviously they're, you know, the youth is an issue, but I think, you know, every team's young in college basketball to a certain extent. We're talking about 18 to 23 year olds in most cases. So I don't think the maturity issue is going to be that big of a deal, but yeah, the shooting and the fouling are, the shooting is, I don't know if that's correctable or if they can improve on that as much as they're going to need to make the dance this year. But, and the foul trouble, that's just a coaching issue. So I don't think they have, Dickerson and Jack last year were pretty foul happy players. I think any roster you put them on, but they're really going to have to stress, you know, keeping their big guys out of foul trouble this year to really challenge for, you know, a postseason of any significance.
Yeah, certainly. You know, I started, you know, my Penn State preview last weekend, and the fouling definitely jumped out, you know, and I think that's one of the things I was forgetting about over the offseason. But major concern, you know, maybe a few different guys up front will help things. I don't know, you know, considering that they're probably going to be inexperienced guys, but that's definitely something that pops out as a red flag. But something just went off on my computer.
issues all around tonight. We're good.
No, I was on Penn State's schedule, and like I got a lion roar, and I was
the
just
roar,
like,
yeah, that roar. Yeah, I have to mute my computer every time I'm on the big old PSU sports website. I don't know why they do that. It's a real pain in the ass. It really just scares the shit out of you when you least expect it. Sorry about that. I should have warned you.
Yeah. I was like, did Chad just play this thing into the podcast? I don't know. Is he that fired up?
No, it wasn't me.
But, but yeah, so warning
viral marketing.
Warning to all listeners, if you go to the Penn State site, it is going to blast a roar extremely loudly, randomly. That was great. One last thing on the roster here. I always ask it on these preview specials. Who do you think is going to be the top dog here on Penn State's team? I don't know if there's a clear cut guy, considering, you know, how many guys are, you know, new faces again. But if you had to put your money on a guy to be the quote unquote top player on the team, who would you pick for Penn State this year?
Who? I guess the safe choice is Shep Garner, just because he's the most experienced returning player. He started almost every game in his career, and he's, aside from a pretty bad six game stretch last year, he was damn near 40% on the year from three in Big Ten play. So. He's the easy choice. Carr has a reputation that he could, you know, he's a top 50 recruit. I could easily see him just taking the reins from day one and being the playmaker for this team and averaging, you know, close, you know, 5-6 assists a game and running the team. But I will say Shep Garner, because I think this is the year with Carr in the fold, he'll be able to move off the ball and spot up for jumpers more and do what he does best, which is shoot. So I'll say Shep Garner as my final answer.
Definitely a reasonable selection. I tend to agree. You know, it's hard just, you know, from looking at the rankings, from, you know, the player evaluations, and from what we know is coming back on the roster. It's hard to go with anyone except Carr or Gardner. You know, Gardner, he's been good. You know, he's been really good. But, you know, sometimes he lacks that little extra bump, you know, if he's going to be that, you know, star player on the team. So I'm just going to go with Carr just out of, I don't know, the bold hot selection here.
No,
I'm going to
go
with
totally
Carr.
Fair. I mean, Garner kind of is what he is at this point, right? He's a shooter, spot up shooter, can play some point guard in, you know, in a pinch. He did fairly well in pick and roll situations last year. And a lot of teams do play that at 2 point guard setup, but you know, his ceiling is pretty limited. He's not a great, outstanding athlete. But I think he's a smart player. And he can, I think this year you'll see him be able to hit the three point ball with a little more consistency. So, but yeah, I mean, Carr in the long run, I think this is his program really for 4 years. If he plans to be here 4 years, it's his program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like his game a lot. I will say, I think those two are going to be really good in the backcourt. And I think this figures to be one of the stronger backcourts in the Big Ten period. But moving back into sort of projecting here, coming into this season, let's get to the exciting part, the part everybody cares about, season predictions. I'm sure you've been thinking about this a little bit. You mentioned some postseason stuff. How do you see this team finishing? Where do you see them competing in the Big Ten? Do they score any, you know, big upsets or anything? And do they make a postseason tournament? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think they have a fairly favorable schedule to start Big Ten play, with Northwestern at home, then the dreaded at Rutgers game, Michigan State at the Palestra, and Michigan at Michigan, sandwiched between Rutgers and Michigan State, and then home versus Minnesota and Indiana. So I could see them starting possibly 3-2. That'd be, I think, best case scenario on the Big Ten. They'll take some games they shouldn't. You know, they have the talent. It's just, and they're going to lose some games they shouldn't too, I think. It's just the nature of a young team like that. So, as far as a postseason, I think the way they scheduled, the way they've kind of manipulated the RPI with some road games and neutral site games with George Washington away and Pitt and St. John's on a neutral or a semi-home court for each team. They'll have the resume, I think, to get in with a fairly mediocre record, say, you know, you know, 17-14 record. They might be on the fringe of the NIT. So I think with a little luck, they'll push for a bubble spot in the NIT.
Yeah. I think I have them. Let's see. On my last set of power rankings, I had them 11th in the Big Ten, directly behind Northwestern and Illinois, and above Minnesota, Nebraska, Rutgers. I just, you know, with this much youth and this, you know, many young players at key spots, and, you know, we've talked about the front court. It's definitely, it's a concern. There's talent there. You know, there are guys like Watkins you could see coming in and making an impact, but I just got to think this team's going to struggle with consistency. I think, you know, game in, game out, it's going to be tough. And as much as I think the Big Ten, you know, I talked about this with the Rutgers one preview, but as much as I think the Big Ten is going to regress this year overall, I don't think the bottom and lower bottom teams are going to regress this year. I think most of that regression is going to be at the top. So, I mean, you know, in one sense, that might make it easier to pull off a big upset. But on the other hand, you know, I think those average games, you know, you're not going to have a, you know, basically winless Minnesota and Rutgers teams to pick on this year.
Well, maybe Rutgers.
Well, okay. Yeah, maybe Rutgers, but not Minnesota. I think it could be harder to win on a nightly basis in the Big Ten this year, despite not having any of those, you know, last year's Michigan State team or any behemoths like that, if that makes sense. So, I mean, I think this team is going to make some noise. I think ultimately they're a little bit short of the legitimate NIT bubble. I think they'll be in that range coming into March, but I think ultimately they will be a little bit out of the NIT and a little bit out of the legit NIT discussion, I guess. But I do think you'll see a lot of progress. As I mentioned, I think Carr is going to be a great player for the team, and I think they're going to make some noise. So am I off track here, or anything
no,
you disagree
no, that's,
with?
That's perfectly reasonable opinion to have, because we don't know. There's so many unknowns on the roster. It's hard to really project for sure what's going to happen because you just don't know. But the talent is there. You know, like you said, the Big Ten is more condensed this year. There's more concentration in the middle, I think. And like you said, you know, every program, I think, except with maybe the exception of Rutgers and Nebraska, and even Rutgers would probably be a little more improved, but I still don't think they're quite the level of every other team in the Big Ten yet. You know, Minnesota's going to be competitive. Illinois is going to be hungry, at least, and they have more talent than a lot of the teams they'll be fighting with. It's just the talent is really more concentrated, and Northwestern is going to be pushing for at least an NIT bid, I think. It's going to be tough with their schedule too, but they'll try to, you know, they'll be similar to last year at the very worst, I think. So yeah, it's tough to see, you know, some publications like Athlon had Penn State 8th in the Big Ten this year, which I think is a little too hasty on them being that high this early. Because this team is going to be together for 2 years, barring transfer, and they add Satchel Pierce, the transfer from Virginia Tech next year, who at the very worst will add depth. So, I think you're about right in that. And the NIT bubble range is probably where they'll end up, and they'll have some expectations going into next season, which it's a Penn State fan. You keep saying, "Oh, next year's the year. Next year's the year." But really, next year is the year, I think, because they are just a year of experience and gelling and getting to know each other away from really trying to compete for that NCAA tournament berth that is so elusive in state college.
Oh yeah. I mean, I try to have a theme with each one of my previews, for each team. And my one with Penn State is hope. You know, I think hope is back for the Nittany Lions, and I think it's real. You know, I don't think it's the old, we'll see how they do. You know, maybe this guy will be significantly better than what we saw last time. And, you know, sort of this recurring, you know, I don't know what you want to call it, routine of, maybe they'll be okay. And then, you know, really underwhelming play, and then, maybe they'll be okay. But I think it's tangible this time. I think they're really heading somewhere, and you know I'm excited to see what they can do. But with that, that's all I have for you tonight, Chad. Any final thoughts here on Penn State, the Big Ten, or anything else here as we head into the 2016-17 season?
Yeah, can I make a hot prediction here?
Oh, please do.
I think this is the year that Penn State beats Maryland in basketball.
Dun, dun, dun. That,
and it's
going to
be, it's going to be so sweet. I suggest it. I've been waiting for that forever, and hopefully this year, but they'll get them very soon, I think.
Yeah, that has been maybe I should have anticipated it, you know, when Maryland joined, but there's a little fire. There's a little fire in that rivalry, I think. And
there's definitely the football rivalry is kind of opposite in basketball and football. You know, they're Maryland's punching up in football, trying to. Obviously they beat Penn State the first year. They're in the Big Ten on Penn State's field with Handshake Gate. You know, they're punching up, and you know Penn State basketball is trying to do the same thing to them. So, I'm sure you saw the editorial this past week before the Pitt game about They're not our rival. Pitt's not our rival. But no, I want as many rivals as possible, with the exception of Rutgers. But everybody else, yeah, if you want to be Penn State's rival, please, let's do this.
Yeah, I will ask this, and I may sound dumb, but, you know, I would look up the schedule, but I don't want, you know, a random lion roaring in my ear. So do you know, is that a home and home, or is that just at home for Penn State? Or
it's only at Penn State this year. They were at Maryland last year for the only game.
Interesting. Now
every game has been very close so far, mm-hmm. So I think this is the year they finally get them.
Yeah, that would be interesting, and, you know, that would add a lot of spark to what I think everybody who's watched it thinks is a budding rivalry here in the Big Ten. So that'll be a lot of fun. But with that, Chad, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate your time, and have a good one.
You too, Thomas. This was great. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. As a reminder to everyone, that was Chad. He writes for Roar Lions Roar, which is a new Penn State site. A lot of great stuff. There's been a couple of new Big Ten sites across the interwebs here. But Chad does a lot of great stuff. As I mentioned, he's a former BT Powerhouse alum. So check out his stuff. Check him out on Twitter. I'm trying to look up his handle here. It is Chad_RLR. And he has an awesome Chappelle Show Chad picture. So definitely check them out. As always, I'm Thomas Bendit. You can follow me on Twitter @TBendit. We'll see you next time. I think we're actually going to be going here shortly with our Illinois season preview. So if you're interested in the Illini, check it out. And with that, I have a good one, and we will see you next time.